You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, With Open Eyes. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
How would you feel and what would you think if you went out to the cemetery and you found that the gravestone of your grandfather or some other deceased relative was disturbed and that the grave itself was open and that the grave was empty? And what would you do if you then heard that this same dead relative of yours was seen in a nearby city alive and walking around? And what would you think if this same deceased relative of yours would then suddenly appear and start walking beside you? Well, this is exactly what happened, the Bible tells us, shortly after Jesus Christ was crucified and his dead body was placed in the cold tomb. 3 days later, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And on the evening of his resurrection, Jesus appeared suddenly to two people as they walked and as they talked along the road near Jerusalem. This, of course, is a very unusual event, and so instead of using my own words to tell you what happened, let's summarize the story directly from the Bible. Because, you see, this event of Jesus' sudden appearance along the Emmaus Road is more than a mere interesting or dramatic event. This Bible story has a powerful message of help and hope and encouragement for all of us in 1996. The same day that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, two people were traveling on a road which ran about 7 miles from the city of Jerusalem to the village of Emmaus. These two travelers, the Bible says, were conversing with each other about all the things which had taken place. Now, of course, these two travelers on that Easter Sunday evening were talking about the cruel and the bloody and the public crucifixion of Christ that had taken place only 3 days earlier. The Bible then further explains that it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself suddenly approached them and began traveling with them. However, the Bible points out, the eyes of these two travelers were prevented from recognizing Jesus. And so, as these two travelers continued to walk along, Jesus asked them, "What are you talking about?" The Bible then says that these two travelers stood still. They looked very, very sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to Jesus, "Are you the only one who is visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" Jesus answered and said, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus, the Nazarene." And then without hesitation, these two travelers told how many people had hoped that this same Jesus would redeem Israel and free them, but that their hopes had been dashed because the local religious leaders had Jesus put to death. Plus, now an entirely new and an even more confusing element had become part of the local gossip about what had happened to Jesus. People were saying that this same Jesus was now alive again. Oh, these two travelers who were talking and walking along, they were so confused. There were so many rumors and so many stories about Jesus, they didn't know what to think. But then the Bible says that Jesus said to them, "Oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" The Bible then points out that beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, Jesus then explained all the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Amazing, isn't it? Jesus himself was telling these travelers about himself, and they didn't recognize him. Why was this? The Bible simply says that they were prevented from recognizing Jesus. You see, God did this for a reason. He did it then, and he still does it today in 1996. You see, as these two travelers journeyed from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they were telling Jesus about all the rumors and all the gossip and everything people were saying about the man called Jesus who had been crucified. Jesus, however, was not interested in these rumors then, and he's not interested in gossip about himself now in 1996. And for this very reason, Jesus interrupted these travelers. And the Bible tells us that beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, Jesus then explained to these two travelers all the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now, of course, this is a very big lesson for all of us today in 1996 because we dare not trust in every innuendo or little bit of gossip about who Jesus is. Instead, we need to study the Bible, especially the writings of the Old Testament prophets. And when we do this, we will get a very clear, a very reliable, and an accurate picture of who Jesus Christ is. This is also necessary, you see, in our age, because the secular media has regularly carried cover stories on major magazines asking the very same question, who was Jesus? Oh, without a doubt, millions of people today read these major magazines and these secular stories which claim to explain who Jesus Christ is. And we can also be absolutely sure that many of these same people remain confused about who Jesus is even after they have finished reading these articles of Time and U.S. News and other magazines. And all of this confusion arises because the authors of these articles frequently deal in rumors and gossip and all kinds of innuendos regarding the historical identity of Jesus Christ. So then today, Jesus is saying to us, just as he said to the two travelers on the way to Emmaus, if you want to know who I am, then don't follow secular sources or rumors or gossip, but instead read the Bible. Study the prophets. Listen to those who foretold who Jesus would be and where he would be born and why he would die and what his bloody death and his victorious resurrection means to all people today in 1996. For example, in Genesis chapter 3, Moses records God's first gospel promise that through someone he would send, God would crush the devil's head. And that someone, the seed of the woman, was Jesus the Christ. This clear messianic prophecy is absolutely crucial for all people in 1996. Our newspapers today are filled with stories of dysfunctional families and marriages unable to cope. Of course, each of us is responsible for our own sins and failures in our families and in our marriage, but we need also to be reminded that at the middle of most of these family fights and marriage mix-ups and home disharmony is the devil. And there is no way that any family today is going to survive our turbulent society intact without scars unless this family is shielded and protected every day by the crucified Christ. In his sacrifice on the cross, the crucified Christ crushed the head of him who disturbs families and destroys marriages. Oh no, you will not learn this good news of God's gospel of help and hope for your marriage from gossip or rumor or innuendo or secular magazines. This good news is recorded for your encouragement by the prophets in the Bible. By the power that God is now offering you, remove the devil of disturbance from the center of your home and replace this den of the devil with the throne of Christ's healing authority. And then arise every day with confidence that by faith the crucified and resurrected Christ is bounded unto you and unto your family. And then with your new hope built upon the foundation of Christ and the apostles and the prophets, you will no longer be confused about who Jesus is. But instead, God will open your eyes of faith just as he did for the two travelers who walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus for 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. This first messianic prophecy recorded by the prophet Moses that Christ would crush the head of the devil has surely brought help and hope to millions over the centuries. But these are not the only words of the prophets to be so beautifully fulfilled. There are scores and scores more. Biblical scholars record over 300 divine predictions. That's correct. There are over 300 prophecies relating to the Christ in the Old Testament. No wonder Jesus was telling the two travelers on their way to Emmaus, and he is telling us today in 1996, don't base your faith and your future on gossip or on rumor or secular information, but only and alone on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is so powerfully proclaimed and so clearly explained by the prophets of the Old Testament. The prophet Micah, for example, centuries before Jesus was born, foretold that this Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And this is exactly what happened. The prophet Isaiah said that Jesus would be a great light of hope for all people who walk in the darkness of sin and hopelessness. And here again, this is exactly what is happening today. Scores of people, thousands of people, yes, even millions today, who have come to know this Christ of the Scriptures, have had their lives changed and their families totally transformed and healed and given hope. The prophet Zechariah said that Jesus would come not as a conquering secular king, but humbly and riding on a donkey. Now, here again, this is exactly what happened centuries later when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. These clear prophecies and their fulfillment are amazing. Oh, yes, they are stunning. And yet we must say, why? Yes, why should we be so surprised? These are all the words and the acts of God. Oh, it is such a powerful faith-building experience to see how the prophets spoke of Jesus, this long-promised Messiah. But it is an even greater joy and a much more powerful sin-cleansing and soul-healing experience to read the prophets and to hear them explain how Jesus Christ, through his bloody sacrifice on the cross, has paid for all of your sins and mine. In the 53rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah, we read that Jesus Christ bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus, the Bible says, was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities or our sins. And the chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. The Lord, the prophet says, caused the iniquity, yes, the sins of all of us, to fall upon Christ when he was crucified on the cross. The Bible tells us that Jesus was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers. So Jesus did not open his mouth. And then, of course, the good news according to Isaiah the prophet is this, that the Lord our Heavenly Father was pleased to offer his own Son Jesus as a guilt offering on our behalf to pay for our sins. And then when our Heavenly Father saw the result of the anguish of the soul of his Son, our Heavenly Father's wrath against our sin was satisfied. Oh, my friend, there are a lot of lessons that we can learn when we study the Bible story of how Jesus suddenly appeared and walked along with the travelers to Emmaus. However, as we recall that story, let us never forget that there was a very special reason that God prevented these travelers from immediately recognizing who Jesus Christ was. You see, in his love and grace, God did not want the minds of these travelers to be cluttered and preoccupied with sensationalistic ideas based upon gossip and rumor that they had recently heard. Instead, this short 7-mile walk gave Christ himself, the Bible tells us, that blessed opportunity, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, to explain to these two travelers the things concerning himself in the Scriptures. And this is also what God wants for you today. If you want to have a real and solid foundation for your life, then for pity's sake and for the sake of your soul, don't look for reliable information about who Jesus is and what he has done for you in some popular secular magazine. The authors of these articles often deal with conjecture and with rumor and frequently also with outright misinformation and even disinformation. If you want to know who Jesus Christ really is, then read the Bible and pay special attention to the hundreds of prophecies given by the prophets of old concerning the Christ, the long-promised Messiah, and then also read the Gospels in the New Testament. And when you read and study the Word of God, then the Spirit of God will open your eyes of faith also, just as he did for the two travelers on the Emmaus Road. And you too, then, will see the crucified and resurrected Christ, and then your life will also be filled with inexpressible joy. The Spirit of God will do for you exactly what he did for these travelers of 2,000 years ago. And when they realized they had seen the crucified and resurrected Christ, they began with great joy to tell their experiences to others. Jesus, they said, has really risen from the dead. Oh Lord, we have just heard about the joy of the two travelers on the way to Emmaus. Our prayer now is that the listeners today might also have their eyes of faith opened
and that they too might see this crucified and resurrected Christ as their Savior from sin. And we pray also that they might know that Jesus Christ has earned for them both the forgiveness of their sin, and that He has also reserved for them, and for all who repent of their sins, a place in heaven. Lord Jesus Christ, may this be true for all our listeners at this hour. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.